went at home to tonight. Yes, praise amen. God. The Lord bless each and every one. Yes. Praise God.
That is preached in this place. It's always good to be in an upper room. Praise the Lord. So it's greeting in the name of the Lord, and trust everybody's well, and the Lord's just blessing your life. It's certainly just a good thing to be a Christian, isn't it? When you see this, the world today and the things that are happening today, but it's scripture being fulfilled. Everything that we see today, you know, the Bible spoke about it. We're just living in days of scriptures being fulfilled at such a rapid rate. And it's just good to be in Christ. Amen. Because if we know these things are being fulfilled, we know it's all going to be fulfilled. We know that the Lord's coming, and praise the Lord. We don't know when he's coming. Brother Tommy was telling me today he got a prophecy he'd be an old man. I said, I hope that prophecy's not true, brother. I said, don't take that wrong. Praise the Lord. I don't make light of those things. But it's very true. We don't know when the Lord's coming. But we just want to be ready when he comes. Praise the Lord. Full of the Holy Ghost. I like it in the scriptures where it speaks of the saints there. It says they were full of the Holy Ghost, and that's the testimony I want, is to be full of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So we just thank God for the opportunity once again to come to Ireland to speak. I just pray that the Lord's hand will be in it. It will be a time of blessing. It will be a time that the Holy Spirit is given free course. You wouldn't want for me to come here just to speak to you. That would be a pretty sad thing, because I wouldn't want to even hear myself speak. But I just pray that we can be channels through which the Holy Spirit can move. Yes. But remember, it doesn't just come from the pulpit. It's the body of Christ. Yeah. And I think that's something that God's trying to get across to his people these days, that each one of us, we're the people of God, we each have a part to play. Praise the Lord, and just we want that presence there. We want the unity of the Holy Spirit, not just on the pulpit here, but just amongst the people, just quickening the people, touching the people, praise God. And that when we can go from this place, we can just say that it was good to be in the house of the Lord and just to meet with God. We come to church, just not to hear a sermon, to sing some choruses and pray, but to meet with God. And that's my desire, praise the Lord. So we trust that God will speak to us over this weekend. Praise be to God. I guess while you're standing, should we just bow our heads for a word of prayer before we turn to the scriptures? Amen. Heavenly Father, once again, we just want to say thank you, Lord, that you enabled us to come to this place, Lord, to come and be with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Lord, we just pray, God, that it'll be a time, Lord, that you'll indeed just have the preeminence, Father, that, Lord, you would... it'll be a time, Lord, that the Holy Ghost would just flow, Father. We pray that, God, you remove every obstacle, every blockage, as it were, Father, and just to allow that golden oil of the Holy Spirit to flow in us, through us, upon us, Lord. We just want to be in your presence, Father. We just want to feel that touch of God. We know we're living in times, Lord, and days, Father. Lord, you spoke about these times. You spoke about these days, Lord. you told us just how it would be, but Father, you gave a great promise to this age and to this time that if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and sup with him. And tonight, Father, we desire. Lord, may that be our desire, Father, that you'll indeed come and sup with us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Give us the grace, Lord, and to be able to just open that door with a simple childlike faith, Lord, that indeed you'll just come and have that communion with us tonight. Quicken us, Lord, and help us, we pray. Heal the sick, Father. Strengthen the weak, Father, the feeble. Bring deliverance to the captives, Lord. Let people know tonight, Father, that we don't have to stay in that condition, Father. Lord, if the enemy has put something onto your people or in the minds of your people, we pray tonight that those thoughts will be dispelled and cast out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, we pray, Lord, that you'll indeed have your way in all things, Father. Get self out the way, Lord, and just may you just be projected tonight, Father. We come, Lord, just praying all things that, Lord, all will be to your glory, Lord, and honor. We ask these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you. I guess while you're standing, you'd like to turn to the Bible, to the book of... I believe last time I was here, I preached in the same book. It's not the same message, by the way, but it's the same book. Did I preach from the book of Haggai last time I was here? Well, I'm going to preach from the book of Haggai again tonight. Praise the Lord. It's a book that just blesses me. So we'll go to the book of Haggai. Let's look at chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 1 through to verse 5. Haggai chapter 2, verse 1, down through to verse 5. Try not to keep you too long tonight. In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes, in comparison of it, as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land." I want you to notice there who's God's speaking to a specific group of people. He's speaking to the people of the land, the people that had gone back at the end of the 70 years. So this message is directed not at the whole house of Israel, many of which were still down in Babylon, but God is speaking to a certain group of people, praise the Lord, to the people of the remnant. "Saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." Notice this verse. "According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not." Amen. God bless you. We'll just leave it there. Praise the Lord. So please take your seats just for a few moments. So I'd like to speak just for a few moments on the thought of the mistake of the remnant. The mistake of the remnant. Praise God. I always like to preach from the books of the Restoration Prophets and from the books of Nehemiah and Ezra and so forth, which are all also dealing with restoration. Because when we're speaking about restoration, we really believe that we're speaking the mind of God. We know today that we're living in a time when God has promised to restore, and that's not a fable; it's a truth. And you know, God made a promise to restore not because it's just the desire of the people. A restoration isn't just a desire or a want in the people. Restoration is a need. See, restoration, we also speak about revival. Revival isn't just something that people are wanting today. Revival is something that the people need. And, you know, we're living in a time and in the condition of a church in the age that we're living in. The problem with Laodicea was it didn't recognize its need. And it's a terrible thing when the church or the people fail to recognize there's a need. I think it's a real blessing of God to be able to let you know that you've got a need. And I think it's a real blessing of God to be able, in yourself, to be able to recognize you've got a need. Because when you recognize you've got a need, God can help you. When you're in a place where you don't have any need, where you recognize that you don't recognize you've got a need, really God can't do too much for you. And really the problem with the times in which we're living and the age in which we're living, it's a very, very self-contained age. In fact, it's a real shame for people today to really want to ask for help. I mean, the world wants people that are self-contained, that can take care of themselves. But God wants a people that really are relying upon Him. Yes. God wants a people that are looking to Him. Yes. God wants a people that, I think it was Booth spoke about His people. He said, I want my people in debt so it'll keep them on their knees. You see, when a people fail, when a people get to a place where there's no need, what goes is desire. You have no need and really you've got no desire. And this was a real problem. It's always been a problem in the church, but to me it's really been accentuated today. There's just such a poor condition. But it just seems to be that people are learning to adapt to their condition. People are just saying, well, we're going to have to make the best of it. And I don't want to be in that place. I want to be in a place where I recognize I've got a need and I want to go to God. And the God I'm turning to is going to supply that need. The Bible said He shall supply all your needs, hallelujah, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. And now we look at that and we think about natural needs and physical needs, and of course it is. But there's a greater need in the church today more than that, and that's for the spiritual needs of the people.
Amen.
You see, the greatest need in the church today is for the spiritual needs of the people of God. But I really believe that it takes the Spirit of God to show us that we've got a need. It takes the Holy Ghost, the quickening of the Holy Ghost, to show the people that we've got a need. Hallelujah. So if you realize today that you've got a need, you ought to be in a blessed, thankful place to know that God is trying to get His word to you, trying to get His help to you, trying to help the people today. Such a condition today that the people are just, well, they don't need, you know, there are many people today, Christians I'm speaking about, or in the churches today, they're not looking for anything. They're not desiring anything. They're just waiting for a rapture that Jesus is going to come and take them out of this horrible old world. But you see, I believe that's really been a trap of the devil.
Amen.
Because you see, that puts, he just puts everything away from the people of God. He said, well, we're going to have to just basically bunker down and we're going to have to just get through things the best way we can. And then one day Jesus is going to come and take us out of it. But Jesus really has called us and saved us really to bear witness of Him.
Right.
Hallelujah. You see, the church's condition, the church's function, the ministry of the church of Jesus Christ is to bear witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And when it gets to a place like that we're not doing that, we're really not doing, we're not functioning as the church of Jesus Christ should function.
Yes.
It's really a dysfunctional body. Hallelujah. So we've got to come back to the real basics, I believe, of the Word of God and the real simplicity of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, because when we get away from that, we are going to be in trouble. Praise be to God.
Yeah.
But I thank God that He gave us His Word.
Yeah.
The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. That's why the devil really wants to put the Word of God out of the reach.
Yeah.
That's why today the devil wants to put the Word of God second place. But really, the Word of God has got to be first and foremost in your hearts and in your minds today.
Amen.
If we're ever going to get anywhere, if we're ever going to do anything today, it's because it's being based on the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I've got a long way of getting around to what I want to say, but it's funny how you get off the subject sometimes. Praise the Lord. But it's a strange thing that, speaking about restoration, we can look at restoration. And it's an amazing thing to me when I look at this and when I study it, and I've studied it much. But the things that you see here with Israel naturally, you can really see, you can take that application and you can apply it to the church spiritually. The types are so amazing, the pattern is so, I believe, so perfect, that what God was doing here with Israel in the natural, He's really doing with the church in the spiritual. Praise the Lord. So you can look at these conditions. You know, one of the conditions of that day was the people were really constantly questioning God. You know, we look in the book of Malachi, and if you ever read through that book, you'll see there that God speaks to Israel about almost a dozen times. And every time God speaks, the people answer with a question. You see, they were a people that really were constantly questioning God. Now that's not a good place to be for the people, for a child of God. It's not a good condition to be in, but when God is speaking, you are constantly questioning God. But you see, you can see that very same thing today. When God speaks through His Word there, today, instead of the people of God really taking God at His Word, not questioning, not trying to figure it out, not trying to work it out, there's always a question there. You see, when we get away from the absolute of God's Word, there's always going to be a question.
Amen.
When we get away from God's Word being the foundation for our spiritual walk, for our spiritual condition, then we are going to always have a question. But when in the Church of Jesus Christ, when you as God's people, I'm speaking as an individual now, when we come to a place where we take God at His Word and we simply stand on what God is saying in His Word, we don't analyze it, we don't try and figure it out, we don't question it there, we just say, praise the Lord, amen, I'm standing on what that Word is saying. I'm standing on what God has declared in His Word. Because you know what, people that are constantly questioning God aren't trusting God. If they're constantly questioning God, there's no trust. And if there's no trust in any relationship, there's no relationship. If there's no trust, there's no relationship. So there cannot be any faith. But it's a time that we're living in, so we need to get away. It's amazing how subtly these spirits come into the church. It's amazing how very subtly they can come in amongst the people of God till we can get to a place where in our minds, instead of taking God and His Word, instead of simply resting and trusting on what God is saying in His Word, we're always trying to figure it out. We're always trying to work it out. We're always questioning. God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to simply stand on what He says in His Word. Praise the Lord. God wants you and me to simply accept what He says in His Word.
Amen.
Don't figure it out. Don't try and work it out. Let's go, well, that so-and-so said this or so-and-so said that. Take it as God says it.
Amen.
Take God and His Word. Stand upon His Word. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible said, he that cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast down.
Amen.
Don't try and figure it out. You say, well, I've had such a bad life. I've had such a simple life. I've done so many bad things. Take God and His Word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If God said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast down, He meant what He said.
Amen.
But today, we're always trying to figure it out. The problem is, we're so taken up with self, instead of looking at what God is, and looking at what God said. It's a bad condition to be in, but that's the conditions of the days we're living in. But God, I believe before Jesus could ever come, you know, He's got to have a church that are absolutely standing on what He said in His Word. They're absolutely resting on what He says in His Word. They're not questioning it no more. They're not looking at themselves anymore, or how short of the mark they come, or how much they've failed. They are simply trusting God. They are simply believing what God has said in His Word. Hallelujah. Now this might be like fundamental stuff, but I really believe today that we've got to come back to the fundamental basics of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because if we don't get the basics right, you can dot all the I's and cross all the T's, but we ain't moving anywhere.
Amen.
We've got to come back to a sure foundation. Hallelujah. Any building, anything is only as good as the foundation
Amen. It
is built upon. Praise the Lord. So we look at here and speak about the time of restoration and so forth, and the things that were happening back then and the conditions of the day. Now you can look at those things naturally there, as we read about it in the natural here from the book of Haggai, but you can see that very same thing in the spiritual. See, here was God was wanting a temple built. That's the reason He brought those people back from Babylon there, is He was wanting His temple built. Hallelujah. You see, when God restores, there's a reason He's restoring. He's not just bringing you back there to say, oh, we've come back. There's a purpose. There's a reason why God is bringing you back. There was a purpose here why God was bringing Israel back. He wasn't just bringing them back there to be back in their land there. He was bringing them back. He wanted a temple built. He wanted those walls built under Nehemiah and so forth. And that's the same thing today. We talk about a restoration. But God's not just restoring the people back so we can say we've been restored. So we can come back and just glory and say, oh, we're a restored people. We've gone back to the Word. There's a reason why God is restoring.
Amen.
There's a purpose why God is restoring.
Amen.
You know, when God sent Moses down to Egypt there, there was a reason why He sent Moses down there. He said, I'm sending you down there, Moses, to bring those people out. Not just to bring them out. So you can just say you can come out of Egypt. There's a reason why God said, I'm bringing you out of Egypt, is I've got a place for you to go. I've got a land for you to go into. When God brings the people out, it's because He wants to bring you in. When God saves a man, there's a reason why He wants to save him. He wants to fill him with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That he can bear witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not my subject. But praise the Lord. So anyway, let's get back on it. God was wanting to bring them back to the land, but you can look at those conditions. You know, here they faced opposition naturally. There was an enemy there trying to stop the natural temple being built. Well, today the church is facing opposition spiritually. He's wanting to stop temple from being built. You know, God said in his word he's going to have a church. There's going to be a spiritual temple in these last days. It's going to be the design of God. It's going to be built by the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. It's not going to be the work of man's hands. It's going to be the work of God's hands and by God's Spirit. But there, just as they faced opposition today, the Church of Jesus Christ faces opposition. Just as they faced opposition there when they wanted to rebuild those walls. And we know that the walls are the defense of the church, and the defense for the people of Israel back there, just as the spiritual walls today are the spiritual defense of the church today. They were facing opposition. And remember, Nehemiah didn't rebuild the walls. Haggai the prophet didn't rebuild the temple. They were just sent to encourage the people to rebuild the walls. Amen. Here's what I'm trying to get across to your church over this weekend. May God help me to show you, bring this to you. It might sound familiar, but I just felt of God to bring these things. Remember, it wasn't Nehemiah that rebuilt the walls. It was the people that rebuilt the walls. Nehemiah was sent there to encourage the people to rebuild the walls. He couldn't do that job. He wasn't meant to do that job. But God had hallelujah, God had restored a people there.
Amen.
God had moved upon a people to bring them back. And then he was moving on people like Nehemiah and Ezra and so forth, and Zechariah and Haggai and Malachi and those prophets to come with a message to encourage the people to start to work. Notice what God said there. He said, arise, I want you to work.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, God was telling the people of the restoration, there's something you've got to do. Hallelujah. God, I'm bringing you back there. There's a reason why I'm bringing you back. There's something that I'm wanting you to do. Hallelujah. And I'm sending people like Nehemiah, Ezra, and those prophets and so forth to encourage you. But they weren't going to build it. They were just going to encourage the people. The work was given to the people. Just the same today as God wants his church to do something. It's not about coming to church to hear the preacher. It's got to a place almost today in the church where we've got celebrity preachers. Mm-hmm. It's got to a place today in the church where it's about a one-man show. That is not God's intended way.
Amen.
Now a minister comes, if he's called of God, he can encourage, he can help, he can just exhort the people. But the work starts with you as individuals. The work has got to come from the people. Hallelujah. I was preaching once over in Hungary there. In the church there, and the sister said in the service, she all of a sudden she looked and she saw a vision. She said, I saw the roof open up and a great big, like a whirlwind. And she said, I looked, she said, I watched and there was like a fire come down. And she said, it fell. But I want you to know, it didn't fall on the pulpit where the preacher was preaching. It fell in the congregation where the people were. See, God wants to work amongst his people.
Amen.
See, until we come to a place where we recognize this is our work. It's not the preacher. It's not the pastor. It's not the minister. The work is for the people of God, for the church of God, for the children of God. We have a job to do. We can get to a place like any denomination, like any church, where we'll just go and hear what the preacher says. We'll just go to church, we'll sing a few hymns, we'll say a few prayers, and we'll go away. God don't want you to do that. God wants you to recognize you've got a work to do. God wants you to recognize there's something for you to do. Hallelujah. Because he's wanting the spiritual temple built. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, notice, just as these people faced opposition in the natural, with the natural temple, it's amazing you see the natural temple being built, so they were facing opposition today with the spirit. Now, notice how they faced opposition. The Bible talks about two men, and I think it's in the book of Nehemiah, by the name of Sanballat and Tobiah. Those men were there to hinder the work. Mm-hmm. Remember, God's work is always going to be hindered. God's work is always going to be attacked. When we have a smooth run of it, then remember, there's a problem. If everything's going fine, and the devil's not really stirring yourself, you've got a problem. You see, because really the enemy is wanting the work of, he'll put all his power, all his force against the work of God being done. And remember, just back then as they faced, remember, where was Sanballat and Tobiah? Where were they? Remember, they were people that were coming there to hinder the work when they were rebuilding the walls. But notice where they were. They weren't down in Babylon. They weren't seeking to hinder the work down in Babylon. They were over there in Jerusalem. In other words, they were the wrong people, but they were in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest hindrance to the Church of Jesus Christ today is the wrong people in the right place. Is the wrong people in the right place seeking to hinder the work of God. Yeah. That's exactly what set the ball rolling in the beginning. That's exactly what Jesus spoke to the church there, that first church. He said, remember, we look back and we see the conditions of this day. We see things, oh, they're so bad. That's the truth. But there's got to be a reason how it came. You've got to go, you've got to deal with the cause, not the symptom.
Yes.
You can treat the tip symptom as much as you want, but if you do not deal with the cause, it's not going to help. You might be able to deal with it for a while, but you know what? If that cause has never been dealt with, the symptom, you say, I've got rid of the symptom. No, you didn't. You just put a sticking plaster on it. You just put something to cover it there. But after a while, given the right conditions, given the right time, it's going to break out again.
Right, then.
You've really got to deal with the symptom.
Amen.
Like
that
name on there, that man had been mightily used of God, had a great reputation, but the Bible said he was a leper. And he was going to be a leper until he got down and dealt with the symptom. He could wash in the rivers of Damascus there, do what he wanted. But until he followed God's instructions and went down to the River Jordan and dealt with his condition, the leprosy was going to stay there. He had to follow God's commandments, God's direction to deal with the problem.
Amen.
And you'll never deal with sin until you follow God's commandment.
Amen.
Until you do it the way God said do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the problem there, like Jesus spoke to those people, he said, you know what? The first church age, look how it crept into the first church age. He said, you've got them there. We look at the church today, we say, oh, it's worldly, it's cold, and the conditions of the day. Well, that is true. But there's got to be a reason how it got to that place. There's got to be a reason how it got into that condition. They're just symptoms, but the real cause, we go back to the doctor's book, hallelujah, we go back to the prescription book, and we can identify the problem there was the wrong people, hallelujah, in the right place. The wrong people going out there that were not sent of God caused the biggest damage to the church that anything has ever done. It's somebody moving out of the plan of God. It's somebody moving out of the plan of God. That is why Jesus told his church to tarry in the city of Jerusalem.
Amen.
Until he be endued with the Holy Ghost from on high. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In other words, God said, I'm going to send something to my church that is going to lead my church, that is going to control my church, that is going to keep my church. Now, God never put it into the wisdom of man. He never put it into the control of man. He sent the Holy Ghost to keep his church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He sent the Holy Ghost to lead his church. Praise be to God. And when we get, that's exactly why we've had a message today.
Amen.
To bring the people back to the blueprint.
Amen.
Now everything else has been done but that, but never mind. God still sent a message in its purity to bring us back to the leadership of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Excuse me. Praise be to God. But to bring the church back to its condition. But you'll only come back to your condition the way God wants you to be, the way God wants His church to be, when we come back to the Holy Ghost. When we come back to the place where we allow the Holy Spirit to lead His church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's so simple. But we make it so complicated. It's so easy.
Yeah.
We make it so difficult. Praise the Lord. So they were facing those very same problems there. Just today, like you and me are facing those same conditions today. That was a natural temple. They were natural walls. But and you can take those very same things and see the same condition today. We face that battle in the spiritual. We don't face natural Sanballats. We don't face natural Tobias. We face a spiritual Sanballat. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there's a fight on today. There's a fight taking, even in this room, even tonight, there's a spiritual battle going on. Satan is wanting you on his ground. God, and that's the ground of reason, that's the ground of trying to work it all out, trying to understand it, trying to figure it out. But God, through the preaching of the Word of God, is wanting you on the grounds of faith.
Yes.
It's wanting you on the grounds of where you just believe, hallelujah, what God is saying in His Word. Well, we need to get away from this idea of trying to work it out. We don't believe with our minds, we believe with our hearts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Now let's notice something here. As we look at the people of these remnants. Going back showed they listened to their prophets. They've done the right thing in going back. Because remember, God has spoken to the prophet Jeremiah and said, you're going to be down there 70 years, but at the end of 70 years, I'm going to visit you, I'm going to bring you back. Hallelujah, I like that. No matter how many years went by, they weren't going 1 year over 70, hallelujah, because God said for 70 years you'll be down there, but you're coming out, hallelujah.
Yes,
praise be to God. So they could go to the Word of God, they could see in the Scriptures now, there were many false prophets prophesying and preaching and saying, you know, that's not the truth of God. Was speaking to Jeremiah and so forth, and those prophets there, you're going to be there for 70 years. That's why when Daniel started to read his Bible, the Word of God says he understood 5 books. He understood that 70 years were going to be accomplished, and that he knew, hallelujah, he was coming to the end. He knew that what God had said to a vindicated prophet could not fail. Hallelujah. No matter how great Babylon was, no matter how strong the king of Babylon was, or the armies of Babylon were, you won't stay there any longer than 70 years. Hallelujah. And I don't care how great the powers of hell are or might look to be today against the people of God. God's going to have a church. God's going to deliver a church. God's going to have a people. Hallelujah. And one day he's going to come and take his people out of here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's no demons in hell going to stop that. Hallelujah. You know, there's a Holy Ghost today. We might have people want to explain the way. We might have people say, oh well, those things, we don't need it anymore, we just receive it by faith. Hallelujah. But there's a Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And there's not enough devils in hell can stop it.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
And it's the same Holy Ghost.
Amen.
What he did back there.
That's right.
He does today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, it's a different day. It might be a different day, but he's not a different God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You say it's a different
Amen.
Time, but he's not a different God. Is he a changing? Hallelujah.
Amen.
The same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
That's why God wants the faith of his people and his word. Not in what you see, not in what we're feeling today. Hallelujah. But what God says in his word. Praise the Lord. And he's going to have a people. Hallelujah. There's going to be a people. Hallelujah. That are going to go to the bush. They're going to realize there's just a limited period of time. Hallelujah. But God's going to bring his people out. God's going to quicken his people. God's going to have a church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because we understand by the book. This book. That's why Satan wants you reading everything else but this book. That's why Satan wants you looking at everything else but this book. And that's why God by the Holy Ghost is calling you back to stand on this book.
Amen.
To believe the word of God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. But they done right in going back. They done the right thing in going back. It showed they listened to their prophet. It showed that they believed what Jeremiah said. Now, you know, the vast majority of people were quite happy, of Israel there, were quite happy to stay down there in Babylon. They were comfortable, they were well off, but they were prospering and they were being blessed. But that has never been the criteria for the people of God. It's all right to be blessed, it's all right to be prosperous, but that is not the... And that's not what it's about. It's about what God says in his word. Whether you're a beggar or whether you're a king, it doesn't matter what you're, but it's about what God is saying in his word. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So the vast majority of the people there, they were happy to stay down there in Babylon, but God, and notice restoration is always a work of the remnant. It is never ever the majority. God ever moves, it is with the little group. It's with the ones, and that's why I believe Jesus spoke to Laodicea and said, if any man hears my as in here, and hears what the Spirit saying that opens the door, I'll come and sup with him, he'll sup with me. Praise be to God. It's coming down to the wire, friends, where it's just going to be individuals. It's coming down to the place where it's just going to be ones and twos. Praise God. But I want to be one of that one or two. I want to be a part of that little remnant. Hallelujah. And I believe by God's grace we can be a part of that remnant. Hallelujah. But that's your choice. What do you want to do? Do you want to believe it? Do you want to accept it? Do you want to go with it? Or do you want to say, well, that's not for me. I'll go with the majority. Hallelujah. But God's going to have a little remnant that they're going to believe his word, that they're going to stay with his word. They're going to go with his word. Hallelujah. It might not look very pretty. It might not look very prosperous. Hallelujah. But they're going to be a church that is standing on the word of God. That are believing what God has said in his word. That are going to be believing. Hallelujah. They don't have to stay down in Babylon. Natural Babylon, spiritual Babylon. There's a time they can come back, hallelujah, to possess the land. They can come back there and praise God, they can build a temple. Hallelujah. Praise God, they can build those walls.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You say, well, that's not my job, that's Nehemiah's. No. That was the job of the people. Nehemiah was there to encourage the people. You say, well, Haggai's going to build the temple. No. Haggai was there to encourage the people to build the temple. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. We can get to a place where we can put it all on the preacher, all on the platform, and we think, well, that's got nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with you. God wasn't telling Haggai to work. He wasn't telling Nehemiah to work. He was telling the people to work. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it showed they done right in listening to their prophets and going back there. But there was a problem. There was a problem with the people. The problem was, it tells us here in the book of Haggai, you see, God was speaking to them. Remember what I was telling you just a few moments ago, that the people were saying every time God would speak, they would come back with a question. Why? Because they were so taken up with what they were seeing. They were so taken up with what they were feeling. They were so taken up with the conditions around them that this was now becoming the thing whereby they judged even God's word. They didn't put God's word ahead of the circumstances. They put the circumstances ahead of God's word. And friends, isn't it true we do very much the same thing so often? We come along and we put the circumstances, we look at our circumstances before looking at the word of God. God was saying, that, notice what it says in Haggai chapter 1 verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this, notice, this people say. Now it wasn't God that was saying it. This people say that the time of the is not come that the Lord's house should be built. So what was happening now? These people were running, as God spoke to them over in verse 9 here. He said, you're leaving my house, you're leaving my work, and you're running every man to your own house. You're taking care of your own things instead of my things. And so it became a thing that they'd taken, that they were really were a people that had lost the vision. They were a people that were so taken up with everything else other than God's work, other than God's house. God said, you're going there, you're running to your own house, you're trying to take care of your own house there, and you're really not you're not really doing the thing I brought you back to do. Yes. I brought you back there to rebuild my house.
Amen.
But here's what you're doing, you're running and taking care of your own house. You're trying to look, in other words, as we would say in the modern way of talking today, you're better in your own nest.
Yes, amen.
You're trying to take care of number one. You got selfish, you got hard, you got self-centered, you took your eye off the thing that really matters, and that's a picture today of a church. Amen. You took your eye off the thing that really matters. I brought you back there. Now God wants to bless people. I'm sure He wants to bless us. He wants us to have nice things. He wants us to have nice homes. But that's not the main thing. God restores His people. God restores His church because He's wanting a church. He's wanting a spiritual temple. The Bible, Paul talks about that house being built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone.
Amen.
He talked about a building being fitly framed together.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God's desire, God's heart is for His church. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. To represent, to manifest Him. But they've taken their eye off this. They were running to every man to their house. They were taking care of their own things. They were taking care of their own homes and things like that. And as a result, they were a people that had lost the vision. Isn't that a picture today so many times? They lost the vision. See, when there's a song we sing across, don't lose your vision of Jesus, my friend. It's easy done. It's so easy done in these times in which we're living. It's so easy for the people of God. Now you say, well, that's the Lord. No. It's so easy for you and me, friends. Don't think we're above it. It's easy done. It's so easy when we lose the vision. When we take our eyes off the things that really matter. When we take our eyes off really what God restored a church for. You see, it's amazing today. It amazes me today. We're taken up with everything. Absolutely everything. We're taken up with this mystery or that mystery or this doctrine or that doctrine. But the reason God restored His church was so He could come and live in it.
Amen.
That's what Malachi 4:6 identified. God living in men. Praise the Lord. We're turned back to the fathers. The fathers was Jesus Christ living in those men. Praise be to God. But it's the problem. We've taken our eye off the vision. We're taken up with absolutely anything but that. Praise the Lord. We're caught up with this mystery. You go to a church today. It's what revelation? Which revelation? It's all about mystery. It's all about revelation. It's never about Jesus Christ. It's never about the thing that really matters. It's never about being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's never about bearing witness of Jesus Christ. It's about bearing witness of your church, of this, what it believes, or its mystery, or its revelation. God wants a God wants a church that's going to bear witness of him. Hallelujah. But they were a people. Lost the vision. Took their eye off the thing that really mattered. They've been restored. They've done right in going back. But that's as far as they've gone. That's as far as they've gone. They got back to the land and thought, well, praise God, we're here. We've done what the prophets talked about. We've gone back to the land. But God wanted something else done. Hallelujah. God wanted to do something else. He wanted a temple built, praise God. He wanted some walls built. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God doesn't do anything without there being a reason why he's doing it. God doesn't restore his church so his church can stand there and say, praise God, we know more than the guy down the road. We've got more understanding of the word of God than the church down the road has got. What good is your understanding if you're not going to do anything with it? What good is your revelation if you're not? People talk about revelation. I want to ask you a question. What's your revelation doing? What's your revelation producing? If your revelation is not producing, then they have to get your revelation.
Amen. Yeah.
Revelation is there for God to do something with the people of God.
Amen. Amen.
God reveals his will to you because he wants something from you. Hallelujah. Mm. Praise be to God. There's a reason why he's doing it. There's a reason why he's restoring. There's a reason why he's taking the people back. But the people have lost the vision. They took their eye off it. They lost the vision there. And now, there were people that were just always questioning God. People that were just constantly questioning God. People that, and when you're questioning God, you are in a state of unbelief. If you are constantly questioning and figuring out, you are in a condition of unbelief. God can only do something when the people start to come back to take him
Amen.
His word. To start to simply say, Lord, I believe what you say in your word. Hallelujah. Now I might come so far short of the mark, but Lord, I'm not going to look at myself. I'm going to look at what you said.
Amen.
I'm going to look at what you promised. The reason people are so taken up with themselves is because they've lost the vision. When you see Jesus Christ, that's all you're going to see. Hallelujah. When you look to Jesus Christ, that's all you're going to look to. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It ain't going to be about yourself. It's going to be about him. Your standard's not going to be in your strength. Your standard's going to be in his strength. Your righteousness is not going to be your righteousness. It's going to be his righteousness. You know, if we could produce righteousness, if we could produce holiness, if we could produce what is needed, why on earth was Jesus Christ made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption? If we could be those things, why on earth did Jesus have to die on a cross? Why on earth did he have to shed his blood, hallelujah, if we could produce that kind of righteousness? If we could produce that kind of holiness? If we could produce that kind of life? He died, hallelujah, that he might live in his church.
Amen.
He restored his church back to its proper place. That he might live in his church. That he might manifest his life through his church. If that's not Malachi 4:6, I don't know what is. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But there was a bad condition. But let's ask the question. Let's ask the question. What, like I said, there's got to be a reason why. What was the reason that people were talking the way they were talking? What was the reason that people got, they got the kind of a mindset, they got into a way of thinking. What's the reason how they were thinking the way they were thinking, talking the way they were talking? Praise God. I hope I'm not going too fast for you, excuse me. I should really slow down, but it's just the way I am. But you understand. There's got to be a reason for it. There's a reason why he's doing this. Now here's the purpose. Why did they get in that condition? I can say it. Every condition, there's a reason for that condition. This is why the prayer lines were such a success. The Holy Ghost went back in somebody's life and dealt with the condition, dealt with the problem there, and when it's dealt with the problem, it's over. Hallelujah. This is why God's Word today, this is why the preaching of God's Word today, if it's by the Holy Ghost, will deal with the condition, not the symptom. You can preach about a symptom until the cows come home. It's never going to change until you deal with the condition. Until you get to the root cause of the problem. Now the reason that people were talking the way they were talking. I want you to notice. Let's go back in our Bible there. Look at verse 5. I won't keep you much longer now. Excuse me. Verse 5. It said, according to the word that I covenanted. No, notice. Now God's speaking to the... Now, as I said before, he's speaking to the people of the land. He's not speaking to the people down in Babylon. He's not building a temple down in Babylon. He's not rebuilding the walls of Babylon. He's rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. He's building a temple over in Jerusalem. So he's speaking to a certain group of people, those people that have gone back. But there was more than just going back there. God's wanting something more to be done. But the people have gone into a place where they were thinking, oh, it's not the time and so forth. And, you know, where's the God of judgment and things like that? They got themselves into an awful condition. And I believe the reason for that condition we find in verse 5. Notice it says, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. Notice, so my spirit remaineth among you. Right there, you've got the whole clue to the problem of that day. The people were looking back to Egypt. The people were looking, now get this, the people were looking back. Now we talk about looking back to Egypt, and we say, oh, and we talk about that in a natural sense of people looking back to the world, and of course that is true. Israel, through the wilderness journey, were always looking back to Egypt. They were saying, oh, would that we were down there, we haven't got the garlic, we've got the cucumbers, we were being fed, we were being taken care of. You brought us out here because there's no grace for us down there in Egypt, and so forth. And so they were constantly in the natural, anchoring back, wanting to go back to Egypt. But there was a greater problem with the people of the remnant. They weren't wanting to go back to Egypt naturally. They were looking back to Egypt spiritually. They were wanting to go back to Egypt spiritually. In other words, they were looking back to the great deliverance. Yes. The great time that God sent Moses down there, the great signs and the great wonders and the great miracles and the great powers of God. And they were asking the question, well, where is this God of judgment? Where are those signs? Where are those wonders? Where are those miracles? God's left us and so forth. But God said to the people, he said, I want you to know, I'm still with you, saith the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. But all get this. Here's the problem, church. They were going back, oh, if I could just be back in those days. If I could just be back in the great revivals, the great moves of God. If I could just be back in those great means when the power of God was forming and the great signs and wonders were taking place there. The problem was you're looking back to Egypt. The signs and the wonders were there to bring you out of Egypt. The signs and the wonders, the miracles and the supernatural power. Now, I'm not saying they're not in the church. They are in the church. But you don't look back to those things. They were there to bring you out. They were there to bring you out. Hallelujah. Oh, if Moses could just be here. If we could just see frogs. If we could just see those plagues. If we could just see those flies. If we could just see the pillar of fire. If we could just see the great signs and wonders. But notice what God said to them. That same God that was with them down in Egypt. That did those things. God said, hear it. He said, I'm still among you, saith the Lord.
Amen.
My spirit remains among you.
Amen.
Oh, the problem of it is, they failed to see it. They failed to perceive God. And so as a consequence, they were constantly looking back. But God said, that same spirit that brought you out of Egypt, that same spirit that did those miracles, that did those signs, that did those wonders, it wasn't Moses. God said, my spirit was down there. That spirit's not gone away. Notice what he said. My spirit remaineth among you. Notice that was redemption. This is restoration. Redemption. Now you could do nothing to redeem yourself. You could do nothing. We could do nothing to get out of Egypt. We could do nothing to get out of the world as we were bound in sin under the control and the dominion of sin and the power of the devil. There's not a thing we could do anything about that. It took the power of God to bring you out. And it takes the power of God to save a sinner. Hallelujah. It takes the power of God to bring you out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. There's nothing you could do. You couldn't get out of Egypt. It took the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Said, I want you to know something. That same spirit that brought you out. Church, that same spirit that brought you out. That same spirit's amongst you right now. It's not gone.
Amen.
The same God that did those miracles, that did those signs, that did those wonders, is still among you. But this was restoration. This was God speaking to a redeemed people. God is speaking to a people that are redeemed by the power of God, by the blood of the Lamb. But God's wanting them to recognize, you're already brought out. That power brought you out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God got a message for him. He says, I'll put you to work. There's something that you've got to do now. Now, don't get into your heads and think, "Well, I'm preaching, doesn't believe in signs and wonders." Most certainly I do.
But I believe what God says in His Word.
And whether I see it or whether I don't,
my Bible tells me He's there.
Hallelujah. My Bible, praise, when God called me and gave me that ministry, He gave me that anointing. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing how the devil bluffs the people of God. It's amazing how the devil pulls the wool over people's eyes. You say, "Oh, he couldn't do it to me." Oh, he certainly could.
That's right.
Paul spoke to a Galatian church. Those people were filled with the Holy Ghost. And yet Paul could tell them, "Who's bewitched you?"
Yeah.
Oh, it's easy, my brother, my sister. Don't get to a place where you think, "Oh, it couldn't happen. It never could happen to me." Paul said, "I'm speaking to Holy Ghost filled Christians, Holy Ghost filled believers." He's saying, "Who's bewitched? You've been bewitched. Satan's played a trick on you." And he does it with the church today. He does it with the people of God today. He gets you looking. He gets you to look way off. He gets you to look way back. But he never gets you to recognize where you're at right now.
Yeah.
He never gets you to see the same God that brought you out, the same God that's coming for you, is right among you now.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God said that same power that brought you out, those same miracles, those same signs, those same wonders, the same things I did in Egypt, that same spirit, it's with you now. It's among you now. Don't look back there. See, church, that's the trouble. We look back to what God's done. That's okay. We can look forward to what He's going to do. But we fail to see what He's doing right now. We fail to see that same God, hallelujah, is with His people. That's exactly what the devil did with me. God, when He spoke to me, He had me to a place looking way off. Oh, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I failed to see, just like these people, that it's already happened. It's already happened. Hallelujah. God's already done it. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Can you understand what I'm saying to you? God's already done it. He had me to a place from, "Oh, I'm looking for God to do something," and failed to see that God, it's already been done. Hallelujah. I was out walking just a few weeks back. Where I live, I was going out there, I was down walking down the road there, I'm praying to myself, and I'm saying, "Oh Lord, I want a touch. Lord, I need a touch. I want You to touch me." And God said to me, He said, "It's your heart that needs a touch." I didn't hear an audible voice, but nevertheless, something said to me, "It's your heart that needs a touch." When I saw that, I said, "Lord, that's the truth." Hallelujah. That's the way it is with the church today. That's the way it is with you and me, friends. It's our heart that needs a touch. See, we get to a place where we're looking for a sensation. We're looking for a feeling. Hallelujah. We're looking for some outward sign. That's not what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's our heart that needs a touch. Don't worry about that. That'll take care of itself. But it's our heart that needs a touch. It's a heart that needs a touch. I said, "Lord, that's the truth." I said, "Lord, I'm asking You." Hallelujah. I'm praying, "Lord, I want You to touch my heart. I don't care whether I feel it. I'm not looking for a sensation. I'm not looking for a feeling." Hallelujah. But Your word said, "If I ask, I'm going to receive." And Lord, I'm asking You right now. I want You to touch my heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want You to touch my heart. Hallelujah. Because when God touches a man's heart, everything else is going to take care of itself. Their eyes are going to be right. Their ears are going to be right.
Yeah.
Everything about them is going to be right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
I said, "Well, I've got a message there. I want to preach on heart attack. It's like I've had a heart attack, Lord. It's like I've had a heart attack. And today it's like the Church of Jesus Christ has had a heart attack. It's like the Church of Jesus Christ today has had a heart attack. We're looking for this, we're looking for that, we're failing to see. And my spirit remaineth among you, saith the Lord." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, you can keep, when somebody has a heart attack, you can keep them alive. Back in 1984, my heart stopped 17 times. But they kept me alive on tubes, on respirators, and all kinds of machinery. I was out of it. My heart had stopped. But they kept me going. Hallelujah. But it was by machinery. And that's so much like it is in the church today. There's so much religious monitors, there's so many religious tubes, there's so much religious machinery pumped into the people to try and keep them going. If you stop the machinery, you switch the monitors off. And if that heart's not right, you're gone. If that heart's not right, you're gone. I said, "Lord, I want You to touch my heart. Lord, I want You to touch my heart." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't care if I feel it, if I see it. Lord, I ask, I'm going to receive it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because when God touches a man's heart, everything's going to take care of itself. The Bible says, with the heart, man believes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is why I believe Brother Van hit so much against those things. He wasn't against those things, but never ever put your confidence in those things. I believe in feelings, I believe in sensations, I believe. But friends, if the heart's not being touched, you can have a feeling in a service. Go out of the service, a few hours later, you're back to square one. You can be in a convention, you can be rejoicing and shouting and jumping up and down, feeling the presences of God, the blessings of God, and hallelujah, thank God for it. But if your heart's not right, if your heart's not right, a few days down the road, you're back to square one. You're back to square one. But when God, hallelujah, when God touches a man's heart,
amen,
when God touches a person's heart, hallelujah, when God touches a heart, oh, it's different there. I said, Lord, I want you to, I don't want to live by religious machinery. I don't want to live by religious tubes. I don't want to be kept alive by a man-made system. Lord, speak the machinery off. I want my heart to work. I want my heart to work normally. I want to work. I want to work the way God wants it to work. I want my heart to work because it believes God, stands on God's word. Hallelujah. It's not subject to what it's feeling or what it's seeing or what somebody says, but because God said it. Hallelujah. God say to those people there, I'm with you.
Amen.
You might not see the miracles, you might not see the signs and wonders, but that same God that did those things, I'm with you. I'm still here. See, the reason those people got in that condition was because they're looking at what they're seeing. The reason we get into the conditions we get into is because we take our eyes off Jesus Christ. We take our eyes off what God said. I'm going to look at what a feeling or a sensation. When you do that, you're in trouble. When you do that, you're in trouble. But hallelujah, when God touches the heart. That's why when God spoke to me and called me to preach this gospel, handed me that robe, gave me that anointing, I was looking way up and saying, Lord, I'm just looking for that anointing. The problem was I was looking for a sensation, I was looking for a feeling. I said, Lord, I'm finished with it. I'm finished with it, Lord. I believe that when I preach, Lord, your word said anointing's there, whether I see it, whether I feel it, it's there, hallelujah. You said your presence will be there, whether I see it, whether I feel it, it's going to be there, hallelujah. Glory! Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Don't worry, you'll get the feelings alright. But you make this. You make what God... You see, it didn't matter what those people say. They were looking at what they were seeing. They should have been looking at what God was saying. They should have been looking at what God was saying, but they were looking back to Egypt. So many people today are looking back to Egypt, are looking back to the great times when God brought them out. Well, sure, it took a power to bring you out. You couldn't get out there any other way. Hallelujah. Yes. God had to supernaturally bring you out. But now God's speaking to a restored remnant. He's speaking to a restored people. He's speaking to a people that have come back there. He's saying, that same God that redeemed you, that same power that sets you free.
Yes.
Amen. That same power that quickened you, that same power that moved upon you, it's still with you.
Amen.
Glory. I'm still with you.
Amen.
I'm not gone anywhere. You just let the devil pull the wool over your eyes. You just let the devil bewitch you. We just let the devil play a trick on us. Hallelujah. But there's a way back. There's a way back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's a way back. Oh God, touch my heart. Oh God, touch my heart by your Holy Spirit, by your holy presence. Lord, I want you to touch my heart. Lord, whether I see it or whether I feel it, Lord, I want you. When God deals with your heart, everything else, my brother, my sister, everything else is going to take care of itself. Everything else is going to fall into line. Hallelujah. When God touches a man's heart, hallelujah, everything else will take care of itself. Praise be to God. We don't have to look back to Egypt. Here was restoration. God wasn't the people, that redeemed people had to do something. They had to work. You go through the rest, you see through Haggai, through Nehemiah. God was exhorting the people to work. Now, not work for righteousness, not work for your salvation now, but work to get back to the foundation of the Word of God. Why do you think the devil today attacks the Word of God? Why do you think today there are so many crazy religions, crazy revelations, crazy mysteries, all kinds of trashy nonsense there? It's the devil wants you off the foundation of the Word of God. He wants to get you away from what my Spirit says, saith the Lord, unto what you're seeing, unto what you're feeling, unto what you're hearing. But when the church, glory, when the church
comes back. Oh, praise be to God. When the church shakes itself loose of all of that and comes back and says, Lord,
amen.
You said,
amen.
I might not see it. I might not feel it. It might look crazy all around me, but Lord, I'm looking at what you're saying. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. Lord, you're the same one that brought me out of the world. You're the same one that saved me from my sins. You're the same one that washed me in your blood. Hallelujah. Yeah. You're the same one that filled me with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You said I won't leave you or forsake you. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. That's the problem with the remnant. They had a heart attack. That's the problem with the church today. It's had a heart attack. My heart stopped. But you see, we've been that used to being kept alive on machinery. We've been that used to being kept alive on tubes. On monitors. But we don't know it. But one of those monitors is going to switch off.
Yes.
One of those tubes is going to get pulled out. And if your heart's not right, you're gone. But hallelujah, there's a God that can quicken the heart. There's a God that can restore in you a right heart and a right spirit.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
I said, Lord, that's right. I've had a heart attack. I'm not going to look at what I feel. I'm not going to see. Lord, you gave me that commission. You gave me that authority. You gave me that ministry. Lord, that anointing is going to be there. That presence is going to be there. That power is going to be there. Hallelujah. Because you said so. Because you said so. And the only thing I need, Lord. You see, when a man's heart's been touched, the only thing that matters to that man is what God said.
Amen.
When God's touched a man's heart, I mean really touched a man's heart,
right.
The only thing that matters is what God said in His Word. Amen. The only thing that's going to bother them is what God has said in His Word. They're not going to be affected by what they see. They're not going to be affected by what they feel. They're going to stand on what God says in His Word. You'll have your ups and downs. But let's come back to that foundation.
Amen.
Let's come back to that Word of God. Hallelujah. Let's come back to standing on what God. Let's come back to taking what God has said in His Word. Don't worry about sensations. Don't worry about feelings. They'll take care of themselves. Hallelujah. But God wants you to get those things in their right order. And the order is, God said so. I'm not talking about an intellectual conception. I'm not talking about an intellectual religion. I'm talking about a living God living in His church. I'm talking about Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever, living in His church, living in you, my brother, living in you, my sister, living in me. But the only way He's going to do that is when we believe Him.
Amen.
Not just about what we're seeing. Not looking back to Egypt then. So, if I was just back in the revival meetings, if I was just back in the days of the great revival and so forth, great, God's going to talk about those things, it's going to think about those things. Well, that ain't going to keep you. That's not going to do anything for you now. That's gone. That's gone. It's over. It's past. But hallelujah, the same God.
Amen.
Amen. The same God Amen. That did those things is amongst the people of the remnant.
Amen.
Is amongst that people that went back out of Babylon. See, God's not going to rebuild a church down in Babylon. He's not going to rebuild the walls down in Babylon. He's got to get you back to Jerusalem. That's where the devil's going to do everything he can do to stop that temple getting built. He's going to do everything he can do to stop those walls getting built. Hallelujah. But I am with you, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm with you, saith the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name
of
Jesus Christ. Oh, God, touch my heart. Touch my heart. Lord, touch my heart. I pray, Lord, every day I want you to touch my heart. Oh, I thank God for feelings. I thank God for sensations. But what good is that if the heart's not been dealt with? What good are those things if the heart's not been touched? If your heart's touched, sensations, feelings, praise the Lord, wonderful. But first and foremost, God, touch my heart.
Amen.
I don't want to have a heart attack. Lord, I want you to just stop the machinery. I want you to stop the machinery. Lord, touch my heart. I want my heart to work and to move. At the unction of your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
At the unction of your quickening power. At the unction of your presence. Hallelujah. Oh, let us be a people that believe God. Yeah. Get them thoughts out of your mind. Oh, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. You'll never be worthy. You'll never be good enough. The trouble of it is you're looking at yourself. You're doing exactly what they did here back there in that remnant. They were looking at what they were seeing. They lost their vision. Don't lose your vision of Jesus.
Don't lose your vision of Jesus. Look to him for your righteousness, for your holiness, for your sanctification, for your supply. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Blessed be the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just pray and worship the Lord from here. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, tonight I pray in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Lord, I know you're here right now. Help us to look away, Lord. Help us to stop, Lord, to see right now that Lord, that same God that redeemed us, that brought us out of Egypt, that same power that set us free, that same blood that washed us, that same life is with us right now. That same power is amongst us right now. If we're your children, Lord,
yes,
you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we'll look away from what we feel. We'll look away from what we see. Lord, we look away from what we hear. And we come to your word and say, Lord,
yes,
I believe what you said. Lord, I believe. I'm not looking at how I'm feeling. I'm looking at what you said. Lord, I'm standing upon your promise.
Yeah.
And Lord, if I can't do that, Lord, if I'm struggling to do that tonight, I want to ask you, Lord, like that brother did. Lord, I want you to touch my heart tonight.
Yeah.
Lord, I want to ask you right now in a simple prayer. Lord,
Jesus,
would you touch my heart tonight? Lord, will you touch my heart tonight? I don't look for a sensation. I don't look for a feeling. I simply say your words that if I ask, I'm going to receive.
Yes, Lord.
So, Lord, tonight I'm asking.
Amen.
And according to what your word said, I'm receiving.
Yes.
Lord, tonight I'm asking for you to touch my heart.
Jesus.
I'm asking for your presence, Lord, to touch my heart.
Jesus.
And Lord, I'm going to thank you right now,
yes,
that I've received what I've asked for, because you said if we ask, we'll receive. We seek, we're going to find. If we're not, it's going to be open. And tonight I'm asking, Lord. And tonight I'm going to stop. And I'm going to just give you thanks. I'm not going to try and figure it out. I'm not going to try and analyze it. I'm not going to try and work it out. I'm just going to say, Lord, thank you tonight for touching my heart.
Amen.
Thank you tonight for touching my heart. Lord, this little building, Lord, over here in Northern Ireland, on this day, at that time, at that hour, that was the time, Lord, that, Lord, you touched my heart. That was the moment. That was the second. That was the hour, Lord, that you touched my heart. From now on, it's going to be different. And I'm going to look to you from now on. Hallelujah. The devil's going to come. He's going to get me to look at what I can see. He's going to get me to look at what I feel. But I'm going to point it back to this little meeting place. And say, when I asked, I believe that night I received.
Yes.
I believe that night Jesus touched my heart.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know that little chorus, into my heart, come into my heart. Anyone know, you know that one? Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to save, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's make that a prayer.
Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Come in to stay, not just for a moment, to stay.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in.
Come in to save. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
If you believe that tonight, why don't you just raise your hand?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Why don't you just raise your hand where you're sitting and say, Lord, tonight, I believe I've asked. And I believe you've come into my heart.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I challenge you to do it. I challenge you to take God at His word. I challenge you to look away from what you're seeing, from what you're feeling right now. You might have a terrible, the things might, you have problems in your home, problems in your life. I challenge you right now to look away from that and say, Lord, right now, I believe you're going to come into my heart. I believe right now I'm going to accept it. Hallelujah. I'm not going to look at my, you know, there's people here tonight with inferiority complexes. There are people here tonight that are so thick. Look away from yourself tonight and look to Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look to Him tonight. You say, Lord, right now, I'm looking away from myself and I'm looking to you right now, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And I believe right now you're coming into my heart. Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Amen, praise God. Well, we have our heads bowed.
Is it, would there be anyone here tonight that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Would there be anyone here tonight that's ever been brought out of Egypt? You're still down there in Egypt. You're still serving the Egyptians. You're still under the whip of the taskmasters. Hallelujah. You've not been set free from the power and the control of the land of Egypt. Tonight, there's a way out. Hallelujah. There's a way of escape tonight. Hallelujah. The blood's been shed. The sacrifice has been given tonight. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite you right now. If you're in that condition, why don't you raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm asking you to come into my heart. I'm asking you, Lord, to save me from my sins.
Yes.
I'm asking you, Lord, tonight to deliver me from Egypt, Lord. To bring me out from the power of those Egyptian taskmasters. Lord, to bring me out of Egypt. Won't you do it tonight? Won't you say, Lord, I want you to come into my heart. Lord, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to come and save me, Lord. Hallelujah. Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Amen. I won't have a prayer line tonight or a little prayer for people, but tomorrow, like maybe if you want to just come with that prayer in the morning, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, but I want you tonight just to believe God. I want you tonight to say, I'm finished with what I'm seeing, I'm finished with what I'm hearing there. I'm going to take God at His word. Lord, it's not, those people, it shouldn't have been what they were seeing or what they were feeling. It should have been what God said. It should have been what, I'm with you, saith the Lord. I'm among you, say, my spirit remaineth among you. It's not gone away. Oh, I don't see the miracles, I don't see the signs of... The same God that was with Moses was with those people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The same God, the same Jesus that walked the shores of the Galilee, that opened the eyes of the blind, that unstopped deaf ears, that healed the leper, that cast out the demons, that walked on the water. Hallelujah. That changed the water to wine. Hallelujah. This same Jesus.
Yes.
It's with you tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Hallelujah, to open the eyes of the blind,
yes.
To open the prison doors, to set at liberty those that are bound, to heal the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. If that's what the anointing did up when it was on Jesus, that same anointing in His church has got to do the same thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My spirit remaineth among you, saith the Lord. Oh,
amen.
God, may every spirit of unbelief, may every spirit of intellectual reasoning be cast out in the name of Jesus Christ. Till the people come to a place where they say, Lord, I'm going to stand on your word. Amen. God bless you. I give the still Brother Tommy to come and take the service back.
Into my heart. Into my heart. Into my heart. Lord Jesus. Come in today. my heart, Lord Jesus.
Praise God, thank God. The words of God, and I don't know if we know this song I'm thinking about, but I've been thinking about it while the brothers were preaching. When God dips his pen of love in my heart, and he writes my soul a message, he wants me to know. The Spirit, oh so divine, fills this sinful soul of mine. When God dips his pen of love in my heart. Do you know that song? Praise God. You know it, Brother John?
No.
Who's ever heard that song? You the words of that, brother?
Amen.
Amen. It's a good song. If you don't know, we'll sing someone else. But the Lord bless our brother tonight. You know, this is really a word from the Lord. And with you. The Lord said he's with you.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't that good?
Amen.
The devil doesn't want you to think that.
Yeah.
But the Lord wants you to know it.
Yeah.
He's emphasized it. My Spirit is still with you. The same Holy Ghost.
Amen.
What's that mean then? The same power. The same presence. The same anointing. Because the same Spirit. We do the same thing. Praise God. Hey man, you come ahead, brother, and lead us. The Lord bless everyone that's come. Praise God. We're looking forward. Pray for Brother Andrew for the morning. That the Lord will strengthen him. And that we'll have a real time tomorrow. Praise God. I've really enjoyed it tonight, brother. Thank you, brother. That's so true. We need the touch of the heart from God. Hey man, go ahead. God bless you.
Amen. Let us stand our feet and we'll maybe try and sing that hymn. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, my Lord.